And we ask that you just minister to us through your word this morning, Lord, as we gather in and press towards you, Lord, that you would just speak to our hearts of the things that you want to say to us today. And we'll just give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Chapter 6 of Genesis, if you would. And I'm going to have to fire my wife because the bulletin's not done. So she did ask me if she could leave emergency and come here and do the bulletin and then go back. I didn't think that was a great idea. I don't know why. Really well. Chapter 6, as we dig in, remember we're at this place now. We've gone through the genealogy in chapter 5, come to chapter 6, and we know the man that we're going to be looking at, Mr. Noah, and Mrs. Noah in the family. And it says that, and it came to pass when men began to multiply in the face of the earth and the daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw that the daughters of men, and that they were fair, and they took them wives of all that they had chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. So the Lord just ministering here, going to give the people 120 years to come to repentance. Talk about grace. We often think that there's no grace, no mercy in the Old Testament. But to give anybody 120 years, I don't know about you, but if my neighbor did something to me, I don't know if I'd give him 120 years. I might give him 5 minutes and then just blow up his fence. I don't know. But you do something, but just so gracious. But it tells us this in 2 Peter 3. I'll just read it to you here. Just sweet scriptures that he gives us. Because he always warns us. He always tells us what's coming. He says in chapter 3, the second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord, of our Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and we certainly see the scoffers, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of that by the word of God. The heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. That people aren't going to believe that the flood really happened. I know none of you have ever heard that or even thought that, but there's people that don't believe the flood happened. And he tells us that's going to happen. And you know what? You can't change their minds. No matter how much you talk to them, no matter how much you argue with them, you can't change their minds. The only thing that can change them is the Holy Spirit of God coming into their lives, ministering to them and convicting them of their sin and of their ways. And so pray for that. Don't pray that you could win an argument. Pray that God would touch their hearts and move in their lives. We see all the way through Scripture of the grace of God. And look at how much time he's given you and I to believe. And yet here's this man, he's going to preach for 120 years and have no converts. Can you imagine that ministry that he had as he would come home and his honey would say to him, how'd it go today? Good. Did you win anybody to Christ? No. 120 years and yet faithful every day to minister the word to the people that were around him by his actions, by his words, by his prayers, by his heart, and to stay faithful to God in the midst of all this with nobody coming and nobody being in agreement with him. That's hard. And yet, when you have a deep relationship with the Lord like that, he can sustain you through the hardest of times. And he's going to see some hard times that are coming. The whole earth is going to be gone. The animals, the people, the trees, the very look of the earth is going to be changed for this man. And yet he trusts his God so much that he's going to bring him through. And so he says in verse 4, there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that when the sons of God came into the daughters of men and bare children to them, the same being mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And there's two schools of thought in this. Some say that these were the angels from Jude that kept not their first estate. But that deals more with those that have fallen, and then it says that they were put into everlasting chains. So we don't believe that that was who this is. Many believe that they were before they went into that compartment of everlasting chains, but we think more probably along the lines of the ungodly men of Cain versus the godly line of Seth. That had come through, that the ungodly line had just caused all this damage and continued on in through that. But God sees, and he knows, and it says in verse 5 that God saw the wickedness of man, that it was great in the earth. I wonder what he thinks now. And that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Not just the imagination, but the Hebrew wording in there signifies that it's not just their imaginations, but it's also the purposes and desires that were behind it. That God knew what they were, and that they were continually evil. Oh, sounds kind of like what we're in now. I don't know how much you're keeping up with the news, but there was a report out this week from Spain. And they're decriminalizing their laws in Spain so that bestiality is now okay. Isn't that wonderful? Calling good evil and evil good. And we're in the midst. And I pray for you that you would be able to stand in the days that you're in, that you would have a faith like Noah, that even though you saw all the stuff going on around you, you could stand strong in your relationship with the Lord no matter what was happening in your life, because we're in dangerous days. Scripture says that they're perilous times, and we're certainly in those perilous times. The good thing about that is we're closer to going home. Today would be great. It would be wonderful. Wouldn't have to go back up to the hospital. It would be great. I'll just meet her in the air. But here they are in that place, all their imaginations. And it repented the Lord. That he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. It grieved him that sin had taken over the people of the world, just like he grieves over the sin that happens in your life and my life, the sin that we allow in, the sin that takes a hold of us and just grabs us and pulls us away from our relationship with the Lord. And we may not think it's much, but sin never starts at its full measure. It always starts, it's just something little, but it just grows so quickly and just takes us out. Just pray that we could stand strong in these days that we're in, no matter what our country does, that our faith is going to keep us through. As we put on the armor of God, as we look at Ephesians 6 and just see that all the armor that God gives us to protect us and to keep us and to hold us, he says at the end of it, just stand. Just stand. And sometimes that's hard for us to do, isn't it? To just stand. There's days that we don't want to stand anymore, that we just want to give up. There's a guy that we prayed for last week. His name was Alan, 24 years old. He had passed out. They had done chest compressions, CPR on him for 20 minutes till the ambulance got there. They had a police escort to the hospital so they could get him there quicker. And he was gone. He is now, in a week, off of all the machines. The doctor came in and shook his hand and he said, I just wanted to meet you because I've never met anybody that was dead for 45 minutes is now alive. And just, okay, you've got a God that can take you through stuff that you think you will never be able to get through. Hold on to him. Trust him. He loves you that much that he can bring you to a place that you need to be. And you may be going through hard stuff this morning that you're looking at, that you're saying, why don't I just give up and why don't I just surrender and just go back to the way I was? Because it's ugly back there. You don't want to go back there. But you've got a God that's able to keep you. Even if you feel that you're all alone, God is still there. And sometimes he has to get you alone with your own thoughts with your own desires, just to get you to a place where you can surrender those to Him and let Him have everything. That's how good He is to us. That's how much He loves you. And that's how much He wants you to walk with Him, because it's the best place for you, it's the best place for me. But here's the whole world. And remember, there could have been up to a billion people on the earth. The way that they were multiplying, they followed His first command really well, be fruitful and multiply. They did that. But only 8 people are going to get on the ark. Can you believe that? Only 8. And if God came today, would we be on the ark? Would we be in the ark? Jesus now becomes our ark. And we're now the temple of the Holy Spirit if we're born again and filled with His Spirit. Are we in Christ? Because the days are so dangerous. We need to have a hope. We need to have something solid and sure. And things can change so quickly. You know, just the other day, Kath was healthy as could be, running around, taking care of a 10-year-old and doing all that stuff. And the next day she was down and didn't get up. Just like, what are you doing? And of course, she being a nurse, let me tell you, nurses are the worst patients in the world. She wouldn't go to the doctor. I'll be okay. Just give me a while. 2 days later, a fever's. She finally made it to the doctor. You need to get to emergency. Nah. Well, go get it. Go get an image taken. Okay. You got to go to emergency. Nah, let's go home first and just sit for a while. I'll be better. No, we aren't going home first. Things can change so quickly. But there's one thing that's stable. There's one thing that's solid. There's one thing that's never going to change, and that's Jesus. And you can't base your relationship with Jesus on your family, on your wife, on your husband, on your kids. You can only base it on what you know about Him and what you have with Him. That's your sure foundation. Everything else is going to be shaken and changed. I don't know if you noticed, but you guys are getting older. And it's changing. And you don't know what's coming this afternoon. But we know one that does. And trust Him with it. The Lord tells Noah to build a boat. Really? It's never rained. How do you build a boat? And what do you build a boat for? But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Grace in the Old Testament. Grace here ministering the gracious God that we know. And these are the generations of Noah. And Noah was a just man. He was justified by God. He was just in God. He knew the Lord. He trusted the Lord. And because of that, it was counted unto him for righteousness like Abraham. He was a just man and perfect in his generations. Not perfect as we think perfect, but mature in his walk with the Lord. And Noah walked with God. We saw a man before in the previous chapter that walked with God. His name was Enoch. And he was raptured out. So then Noah becomes the type of the church that's going to get raptured. Noah then is the type of the man who's going to go through the tribulation as the Jews are going to go through. And notice the rapture was first before the going through the tribulation. That's why we're pre-trib. One of the reasons that we're pre-trib. We believe that Jesus is coming first. The rest of the world that isn't believers, they're going to go through the tribulation. These two men walked with God, and He used them as examples for the rest of humanity to see. And Noah begat 3 sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And the earth was also corrupt before the God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted His way upon the earth. All flesh had corrupted God's way upon the earth. They had made it something that it wasn't supposed to be. And so God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. So make thee an ark of gopher wood, rooms that thou make in the ark, and you shall pitch it within and without with pitch. So Noah, I'll give you the blueprints. I'll give you everything that you need to have. Remember, when God calls you, He's also going to provide you the way to go. He's also going to provide the grace and the mercy that you need to go that way. Sometimes we cry out and say, Lord, I don't have grace for this. And he goes, yes, you do. I've given you everything that you need for life and godliness. So in the midst of it, you take the grace that I have given you. Don't trust your feelings. Don't look at your own feelings and say, well, I don't feel the grace. It doesn't matter what you feel. It matters what God says. And if he says, I've given you everything, then you've got everything that you need. You can do it. What the thing is, I don't want to do it. That's what we need to say. God, I see it, but I just don't want to do it because I don't like it. I don't want to do this. And this guy is no spring chicken. You know, I thought I was old when the Lord told me I was coming over here. I'm not 600 years old. I don't know if you noticed. You might think I'm 600, but I'm not even close. I feel like 600 sometimes, but only when I roll out of bed and find myself on the floor and then I have to find a way up. But I'm not yet. But he's 600 years old. Whoa, that's aged. And yet he trusted God to give him the strength to do it. And it's interesting, too, as you go down to verse 14, making an ark of gopher wood. Many believe that it's probably cypress wood, but whatever it is, it's strong enough to get through the storm. Rooms that you shall make in the ark, and you shall pitch it within and without with pitch. That same word that we use in English here, there's two different meanings for these two words, pitch. The first one means in atonement. It comes from the word kafar. And the second one, which says pitch, means more of a covering. So one means atonement and the other one means covering. You're going to pitch it within and without, and then it's going to be covered. Your atonement is going to be covered. Your atonement is going to be taken care of. It's the same word that they use in Leviticus 17:11, and it says this, in 17:11, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you. Here's a gift of God to those that believe in him, to you upon the altar to make an atonement. That word atonement there is the same word that it is for pitch. It's the atonement, the atoning work of Christ on the cross that's used then as a covering. Once you have the atonement, you have the covering of God on your life. I'm going to give it to you for an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. It's the blood of Christ that makes an atonement for your soul. Aren't you glad for the blood of Christ this morning? Oh, my goodness. Can you imagine where we'd be without it? I know if I didn't get saved when I did, I'd be dead by now. I'm just so thankful for the blood of Christ. This is so sweet to see you guys here and to know the salvation that he's given you. And you better get used to this face because you're going to see it for eternity. So have a good time with that one. 40 people just walked out and went to another church. So verse 15 then, and it says, and this is the fashion which you shall make of it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits or 450 feet. One big ark. It's kind of like the boats that you see down in Palm Beach, huh? The breadth of it shall be 50 cubits or 75 feet and the height of it 30 cubits or around 45 feet. So this big, huge, he gives him the plans for this, gives him what he needs to have for it. He tells him you're going to make it out of this kind of wood. Evidently he was in a place where it was somewhat close by so that he could bring it there. But he has this and he starts building this boat. And he gives them the blueprints, and he says in verse 16, in a window shall you make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above. In the door of the ark you shall set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories you shall make it. A three-story boat. Carnival cruises, the first one of its kind. So here's Mr. Noah, and he's building this. But I love what he puts in this. Because it's so sweet. Even though they're going to go through the tribulation of having the earth flooded, the Lord puts a window in it. And what's a window for? So you can have light. So you can see the light. Even though it's going to be dark, it's going to be raining, you can see the light. And he's going to go through a storm. And we're guaranteed to have tribulation in this world, Scripture tells us. And we do. Some of it is super hard. Some of it is a little bit easier for us in our emotional state, in this natural state. But every trial that we go through is there for a work for us. But as he brings us through, the wonderful thing about this is that there's always a light that's going to shine for us to see as we go through the trials that we're going to go through, that there's going to be a light there leading, guiding, showing that his presence is still with us. And if you're born again this morning, God promises that he's never going to leave us or forsake us. Oh, and isn't that wonderful? Because there are days you just sit there and wonder, aren't there? God, where are you? And why does it look like this? Why does my life look like this? It feels like I haven't done anything with you. I really don't even know you. I cry out to you. I'm getting no answers. My daughter texted me that the other day. Said, if God's taking care of Mom, why is she still going through this? Evidently, he's not done with her yet. And she knows, but it's just her mom, you know? And when it hurts somebody that we love that much, it really causes stuff to go on with us emotionally, doesn't it? And I don't know about you, but when my wife is not around, I don't really do too well. I am a mess. And so we just look in that place of realizing, well, Lord, I've got to have a place of stability. I've got to have a place of surety that no matter what is shaken, I can stand. And I know there was bets going around with a few of you as to whether I was going to show up this morning or not. But my wife told me yesterday, you ain't coming here. You're going to church. Yes, ma'am. I was already planning on it because the Lord had already showed me I was supposed to. But it was nice to hear her say that, to have that confirmation that, yes, this is where I'm supposed to be. God's going to take care of her. And he's also taking care of me because he's showing me stuff now that I would never know if I wasn't obedient to walk. And that's what he wants for you and I. Noah had no clue, never rained, never had a boat, never had to do any of this stuff, never been that age, and yet the Lord was taking him through these things to show him, but there was going to be a light of his presence there all the time. Put a window in there, Noah, so that you can know that I'm with you, so that you can know my presence always. And he has his light because it says that Jesus is the light of the world, and he's going to be with us always. You can trust him. Hang on with the things that you're going through and trust Jesus. He wants to take you through those things. He wants to deliver you. Remember Psalm 23, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And some of you have been through some shadows that have just been overwhelming, but there's always a light. If you seek, you're going to find. There's some interesting things that are going on here with Mr. Noah as far as a type of Christ too. As you look, you realize that Noah was building this ark, hammer in his hand, to put these things together, to put the wood together, to bend it, to put it into place. And isn't it strange, not strange, but probably coincidental, no such word in Christianity, but the picture of that Jesus took the blows from a hammer for you and I tells us too that Noah built this with wood. Jesus was pinned to wood. Tells us that Noah built the door. And what did Jesus say in John 10? I am the door. You look at Noah, and he covers the ark with pitch, and Jesus covers us with his blood. Just such a wonderful picture of what God wants to do in your life and my life. And notice it said that he pitched it within and without. That covering covers you just not outwardly, but inwardly. He wants to cover the inward parts of your life too. And as we see in this chapter that everything that was evil, all the imaginations, all the thoughts, all the desires, they were all inward. God wants to cover those too, to make an atonement for you, to cover you, to change you. Because now we're these new creations in Christ. We're these new people. We may not look different outwardly, but inwardly, we're a lot different than what we used to be. And aren't you thankful? I'm thankful. Because otherwise you'd probably shoot me by now. Or I'd shoot you. I don't know. Thinking of a couple of you, I might. I don't know. But here we are in this place of just realizing, God, you're doing a work. And I can't believe you're still dealing with people on the earth. I would have given up on them by now. I get so mad at the news. I can't watch the news anymore. I get so upset with it. because it's just so rotten. But he told me I should know it. And yet I still react to it because this natural man is still fighting with the spiritual man. And sometimes the spiritual man is my wife, and she goes, would God approve of that? Go to the hospital. But here he tells him to build this ark. And notice there's only one door, too. Only one way for salvation to happen. And didn't he tell us the same thing in the New Testament? There's only one way of salvation, and that's through Jesus. And not only has he saved you from your past, but there's three parts to salvation. Your past, where you are right now, and the future salvation when we are changed into these immortal beings. So he saves us from what was past. He saves us from what we're going through right now, the sin that's in our life right now, and he's going to save us in the future by taking us home to heaven. That's a lot of salvation. And I can't save you. This church can't save you. Your family can't save you. There's only one that can save you because there's only one door. There's only one way. And his name is Jesus. And you got to come to him by yourself and let him minister to you. Some of the greatest changes that happen in our lives is because he deals with us one-on-one. Certainly he deals with us as a country, as a nation, as a church body, as a family. But the greatest work that goes on is when he changes us individually. And some of us, he's taken a lot more time with. I've been saved for 40-some years now. I thought after 5 years, I'm going to be good. I got this down. And I look at it now, and I don't know anything. The only thing I know is Jesus loves me. This I know because the Bible keeps telling me over and over. That's the only thing I know. Because the things I thought I knew, I can't do. It's just so strange, isn't it? So different than what the world tells us it's going to be like. And I think it's so sweet. Who knows what he's going to bring into your life today that's going to change your attitude, your anger, your bitterness, the hurt that you still hold on to. Who knows what he's going to bring in to show you what great love he's loved you with. But keep your eyes open. If you're looking at the news, you're never going to find it. There's good news. That's where you're going to find it. Keep your eyes focused. Oh boy, you guys are talking a lot. Okay. So a window you shall make in the ark, and a cubit thereof shall finish it above, and the door of the ark you shall set in the side of it, with lower, second, and third stories you shall make it. And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven. And everything that is in the earth shall die. Can you imagine the hurt that's there? You know, sometimes you just cry out, but what we have to realize is that there's a just God and a righteous God, and sin has to be dealt with. And we cry out sometimes, you know, Lord, why does it have to be so hard? He says, because sin is so difficult and so entwined in everything that you are, that sometimes it hurts a lot to get rid of that out of your life. But Lord, there's some good people outside of the ark. Good is dependent on who God is. Good isn't dependent on what we think is good. If they don't know Jesus, they're not good. They're not righteous. They're not saved. And God has to deal with that. And he's made a plan of salvation for them that goes way beyond anything that you and I would make for anybody. But a just God is also going to have no sin before him. And so we see, even though people might be good, they're not good enough. There's only one place that there's good. Remember, the rich young ruler came to Jesus and said, good master. And he says, who are you calling good? He wanted him to know who was good. It's God that's good. And we're only good because God is good. And God is good all the time and all the time. There you go. Phew, we got something down. Thank you, Lord. But with thee, in verse 18, I will establish my covenant. So he brings a covenant. He brings a relationship with a man who loves him, a man who walks after him, a man who desires his ways. That's who he has a relationship with. That's who he has a covenant with. And God says, I'm going to establish it. You can't establish it, but I'm going to establish it. That's why we come to Jesus, because he's the only one that can establish that covenant with us. We can't establish it. We can't say, God, I've been good. I've been tithing to the church. I've been going every Sunday, Wednesday, Friday. I've been going all these days, Lord. And he goes, that isn't me. That isn't my covenant. My covenant isn't based on what you do. It's based on who I am. and you have to know me. That's why you need to stay in your word. Keep reading your word, because there is the place where that covenant is established and then developed and brought to you so that you can walk in the truth of it. And that's where we're really going to have joy. In the presence of the Lord is the fullness of joy, Scripture tells us. It says, I'm going to establish my covenant with you, and you shall come into the ark, you and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you. It's like God already knew who's going to get saved, huh? Okay, so he knows everything, so he knows your heart. Don't think you're fooling him. And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee, and they shall be male and female. Do I need to say any more? Okay, good. We won't have to go into the 69 establishments of the world of what kind of people there are in the world. There's two, male and female. Of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, and of every creeping thing in the earth. Notice the care that God has. He even cares about those creeping things in the earth. Those creeping things that we go along and we go, oh! And we go, gone. God saved. Isn't it amazing that his care goes that deep? And if he can care that much for that, how much does he care for you? Because man and woman is the height of God's creation. We are the pinnacle of it. Everything else was good as God created it. When he created man, he said it's very good. We're the ones that need redeeming. We have soul and spirit and body. The animals don't. But he cares about them. And if he cares about them, how much does he care for you? He would care so much that he would die for you. We take communion on Sunday mornings, and this is part of the reason why, to remember how much he cares for us, how much he loves us, and to remember that covenant relationship that he's making with us so that we can get our focus back to the center and get it straight. We get so distracted during the week, don't we? So distracted with the things that come up. And the world keeps pouring distractions at us. The office at the hospital called, I think it was yesterday, I don't know, the days are just blending. But they called down, and then somebody came down to visit, and they said, oh, you're on Medicare, and you got this kind of insurance, right? Yeah. Well, after a while in this observation room, because she's still in emergency, but in an observation room, it's only been 4 days, come on. But here we are in the place. After 3 days, Medicare doesn't take care of this anymore. Distraction! I just finished paying off the bill for my COVID stay. Well, do something about it then. What can the hospital do? Well, we can put you inpatient. Well, put us inpatient then. Oh, okay. You just have to tell us. Really? Aren't you here to help? No. But the rules and the regulations distract us a little bit, don't they? Our friend Robert that we had told you about, he went and had the third surgery on his lung, and they took another part of his lung. And the day before he went to the hospital, somebody ran into his car right after they stopped for a birthday party, and they told him it was his car. It's just distraction. We're getting distracted and bombarded constantly. But who are you going to look to in the midst of it? Are you going to look to Allstate? Or are you going to look to his state? Where are you going to go with it? The distractions are going to be there. Whether it's the football game, it's your car, it's the bill that's coming through. What is it that's going to distract us? Life is distracting. God is steady. Keep looking up. Keep hanging on, folks. We're going to get there. And we'll get through this chapter, too. So bring two of everything. Bring them in with you, and they shall be male and female, of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind. Two of every sort shall come into thee, and you're to keep them alive. And take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and you shall gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. And thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, did he. Amazing, isn't it? He gave him a promise. He gave him this covenant, but he also gave him a lot of work to do. He had to get all these animals there, even though the Lord sent them. He had to make sure they were in there. There was two of each. You know, where's those two mosquitoes? I thought there was two. I don't know. As you start looking around, you start doing all this stuff. You know, and then he had to gather the food. You know how much food for a year for all those animals and all the people? Whoa. He gave him a lot to do. And he's given you and I something to do. To trust him, to obey him, and to walk with him. And it doesn't sound that hard, but it's hard, isn't it? This walk has never been easy, but it's always good. We may limp along some days, but God is going to bring healing to us. And we may limp in with bitterness because of what happened in the past, but God can heal it. We may limp along with frailness, but God is going to bring healing in the midst of that. The answer is always Jesus. The answer is not how much you're reading or how much you're doing or how much you're giving. The answer is a relationship with Jesus that'll keep you strengthened enough to walk with him all of your days. Not just Sundays, but every day. It's that important, folks. It's that important. And if he's not first, maybe today's a good time to think about making it first. We're going to take communion and remember that. But in that place, let's just pray for our hearts that we would be in that place where we could remember what he's done for us so that it could encourage us to walk with him. So, Father, we just come this morning with these hearts. Lord, you know these hearts. These hearts have been distracted. These hearts have been shaken. These hearts have had things happen to it in the past that still come up. And, Lord, we know that we need change. We know that we need you. So, Lord, I just pray for each and every one of us that's here, Lord, that you would just do that work of just comforting, encouraging, strengthening, and helping us, Lord, to be healed from those things that have caused so much destruction in us. We need you, and as we just come, Lord, help us to think of those things. And if there's something that you bring to remembrance, Lord, help us to repent of those things, to turn, and to let you heal us. And so, Father, help us to think of these things as we look at these elements. And help us, Lord, to be strengthened up in the power of your might. Not our strength, but your strength, Lord. We just ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.